C2PR. Number 23B.
So, can you see that one feels, well, that's just a nice point, that you can read the textbook according to your present inspiration. So, perhaps if during the week that reader has gone through a difficult time and had to rely on the infinite, well, he says, that's wonderful, I just go to show what I experienced this week to those leaning on the on the sustaining infinite. Today you speak with blessing. Who can say which accentuation is right? Now we come to the crucial question. Can we accentuate the way we like? How can we? What then tells us which one of those terms must be accentuated? The context. So, actually, if I read that book for the first time, I don't know how to accentuate it when I come to the first sentence. I won't have to study the context. And I guess if we study the context of preface, I think the one thing that will stand out that it is today. That truth has come all through the ages, has always come, but now Mrs. Eddy comes and says, but today it has come in an absolutely new form, and I show you what it is. So I think that if one reads the whole preface, one can't really read it otherwise than to say, to those leaning on the sustaining infinite, to all those people, religious people that have been in church and have been relying on God, today is now a big with blessing. Something new has been born to us, a new child has been born to us, the star of Bethlehem has come again, has become the star of Boston. Today, an absolute new revelation has come. And so, today, maybe the accent. Now, I have shown you just with two examples, one from everyday life, how we take it very naturally. And we know it. We have it in our ears. Now we have to culture that in regard to the textbook. See? And therefore, we can see that if I would read that same sentence with another accentuation, I would interpolate. I would take in a foreign matter, without even using another term, just by accentuating wrongly, I would say, I think that whole sentence is within the framework of leaning or not leaning, of trusting or not trusting. Do you trust God or don't you trust God? That's another question. Then the question, is it today or is it tomorrow or is it years ago? Yes. Well, are we happy about that one? You see how text interpretation is quite a subject. It isn't just giving a one rule and say, here you have it, now go on. So that we have to be very careful. I would love to be careful. When you are reading the textbook in the future, that you are not interpolating. If we interpolate, then we mix the categories, and then we are just there where we started out, that everything is a chaotic arrangement of statements and statements and statements. They have no more the characteristic of a structure. Yes, that's that. Now, that was a good side remark. Thank you, Inky. Thank you. Yeah, we were at the point of truth as life. Here again, we can see how that consciousness that we have to build up through prayer is just taking all the preceding ones and put them all together. I read the tone of life here. When thou prayest. So we start again with prayer. Desire is prayer. The first. Enter into thy closet. That closet is the sanctuary of spirit. We have the second one. Go into the spiritual atmosphere, go into the spiritual qualities, go into the sanctuary of spirit, not of matter. Second prayer. And when thou hast shut thy door, a third prayer. A third prayer of soul which says, rebuke sin, cast out sin, refute sin. Don't take that in. Huh? It is, shut thy door. And pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret. So we can see that she indicates here that in that closet we have the interpretation of principle, of Father. He knows, he sees in secret. He can see what we cannot see. He begins to interpret to us what seems to be inexplicable and shall reward thee openly. We have the tone of life. Where we always had that life brings the reward openly. That it comes right into the open. Where the cause is manifested as an effect. Just a biblical statement. But that biblical statement has a lot in it. Huh? It is, so to say, how do you get into that closet? The closet also has a sense of consciousness. How do we get into the divine consciousness? Because afterwards we will speak about the closet of truth. So how do you get it? How do you build up your consciousness? Go through mind, the prayer of mind. Go through the prayer of spirit. Go through the prayer of soul. See that is your prayer of principle. That will teach us all things. And that will reward us openly, life. So that prayer of consciousness opens really the source of God's blessedness, the open fount, so that it pours forth more than what we accept. Just as we had it in mind as life, which says that desire should go forth, and that God pours forth more than what we accept. But there it was just a desire. Now it is shown how that desire becomes our consciousness, and then that blessedness comes openly. It begins to demonstrate itself. We come to the next tone of truth, that takes the whole paragraph. So spake Jesus. Now the closet typifies the sanctuary of spirit, the door of which shuts out sinful sense. Again, you have a sense of the rebuking sin, shuts out sinful sense, but let in truth, life, and love. Now you have, for the first time, another combination of those synonymous terms, namely truth, life, and love. Up to now we had twice, namely life, truth, and love, that we should be grateful. If you are not grateful for life, truth, and love, then You have the sharp censure that Jesus pronounced on hypocrites. So we are seeing in that second prayer of spirit, where we are grateful for life, truth, and love. What does life, truth, and love mean? It's the Godhead, the Word of God. So we are grateful for the Godhead, for the nature of God as life, truth, and love. But here, we are not saying what we do towards God, but that God comes into our closet. Can you see? It says that we shut out sinful sins, but let in something. It comes into us, and when it comes into us, it is the Christ. Because the Christ is that which comes from God to man. And therefore, she depicts the Christ sense. We know the Christ in absolute Christian science is truth, life, and love. Do you see the exactness of her language? The moment she could see that something comes to us, then that is always the Christ. So she lets in truth, life, and love. Closed to error, it is open to truth. Can you hear? We are in the tone of truth as truth. It's constantly talking about the truth, about the sanctuary of spirit which shuts out evil and lets in truth. It is open to truth and vice versa. The Father in secret is unseen to the physical senses, but he knows all things and rewards according to motives, not according to speech. So we have again that reward that comes to us. The tone of the second scriptural note, that God knows our needs and always will supply it. But then again she says, to enter into the heart of prayer, the door of the erring senses must be closed. Must be closed. Lips must be mute and materialism silent. That man may have audience only with spirit, the divine principle love which destroys all error. The side note is spiritual sanctuary, and gives us a very good sense that what truth as truth does. In truth we accept truth and deny error. That's an old rule even in metaphysics, already in argumentation, that you affirm and deny. That closet is, so to say, that consciousness which is really willing to acknowledge the truth and deny error. And through that method, we silence materialism, we silence the senses, and we silence really false longing. But then we come to the last one. Yeah, I have another quarter of an hour. To the last one, truth as love. And this is quite an interesting one. In order to pray aright, can you hear the tone of truth? It must be aright and not amiss. So it's again the question of what is the true prayer. We must enter into the closet and shut the door. So we get the sense of there must be an action. We must do something about it. That right prayer is also doing the will of God. That's how she started out with truth as mind, that we have to do the will of God. We must close the lips and silence the material senses, silencing materialism. So we get spirit. So we have first a tone of mind, as doing something in praying aright, going on two things, then second spirit, that we must close the lips and silence material sense. Then comes, we must close the lips and silence spiritual sense, soul. In the quiet century of earnest longing, we must again deny sins, the senses, sin, and plead God's allness. That's the third must. See, we have here the musts. You have the must on line 14, we must enter. Line 15, we must close the door. On line 17, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. Then on line 18, we must resolve to take up the cross and go forth with honest hearts, the fourth, to work and watch for wisdom, truth, and love. Then comes life. We must pray without ceasing, continually. So we have it as far these musts. Then after the fifth, it changes, because we have always seen if we fulfill the first five, then we have the answer, that the prayer of truth is answered prayer. So there is no more a must in it. We get the effect, the reward. So such prayer is answered. It doesn't say must be answered or will be answered or shall be answered. Such prayer is answered. Can you see, that was the key, really, which shows us that the sixth prayer, is no praying towards something, as in the first five. It says that prayer is actually the answer. If we have a consciousness of truth, we don't need any more an answer. So that we feel the prayer up to life is that which constitutes our consciousness, that we have to take that into our consciousness through intelligence and knowledge, through keeping it pure in the second one, seeing that that is the rule of soul which changes everything, that rule gives us the authority and have dominion over sin, sickness and death. That as life, it says, go that way, do that, enter into the closet. And if you are in the closet, you are in it. That's the answer. We are no more expecting an answer. Such prayer is answered in so far as we put our desires into practice. Can you see again here something? What we said, I think, yesterday, English grammar does not follow English syntax does not follow spiritual syntax. Because here you have it very distinctly. She says, such prayer is answered. And then only afterwards gives the condition for being answered. Namely, in so far as you put our desires into practice. Can you see the English sequence of terms is upside down? Because the law says here, and in the measure as we put our desires into practice, in that measure your prayer is answered. That's the spiritual logic. But English syntax can easily, or I think mostly does that, to turn that around. That they take the end and say, they say, that we have because of what precedes. Puts that what precedes afterwards. And this is typical English syntax. When I write, I do it always the other way around, because German syntax is different. And I would put it anyway other way around, because I always like to write the way something flows, not in my mind, but something flows in cause and effect. I always like to put what is cause before describing the effect. So actually you can see here we went through those five musts in consciousness. The first must was that we must enter into the closet, that we must make a mental effort to go into the closet. It's a command, it's a mandate, it's a command, you must do this. Second, you must afterwards separate, you must silence materialism. You must do that. Third, you must afterwards deny sin and plead God's wholeness. Fourth, you must, she says, what was that? Go forth with honest hearts. The fourth. And fifth, you must pray without ceasing. If you have accomplished those five musts, then comes truth, and we have the truth when we put that sentence upside down, and says, then we, in the far as we put our desires into practice, see, doing it, it's the 6 days shalt thou work, and to all thy work. And in the measure, in the sixth you do that, you get what? You get in the seventh your answer. Such prayer is answered. Doesn't say will be answered. Can we remember that for us the next 50 or 70 years? That actually we get rid of that sense that prayer is something that we do expecting that something will happen. That prayer is much more to build up a consciousness of truth, and that consciousness of truth is answer prayer. That is not going to answer something. It's answered. Because what we have in consciousness, that we are. We cannot get anything else than what we have in consciousness. So that's why the sixth prayer is so important. In the fifth prayer, we still were constantly saying, I have to go back to the source, and I have to reason out from the source. And only if I go that way, then we get a right answer. In the sixth, we don't do that anymore. We take that way within us. We embody that way in consciousness, and the more I have that consciousness, the more everything is okay. There is nothing to be done anymore. So such prayer is answered. The Master's injunction is that we pray in secret and let our lives attest our sincerity. That in the measure as we do it, that we show forth that we do it. So it gives a terrific sense of, well, that the prayer of consciousness is a very active prayer, where we take all the first five prayers into our consciousness, that we stick to it, that we reject everything that does not belong to those five prayers, and let that not come into our consciousness, and in that measure, as we do that, we have the answer. We are the answer, so to say. So that if we look over the seven subject, let's see how they build a, what I would say, an irresistible order. We always said, let's check on that. And so what we see here is that we ask, what is the prayer of spiritual consciousness? I think we said Yeah. What is the prayer of spiritual consciousness? And so she said, she goes out from mind. Says, look here, consciousness has nothing to do with your ignorance. With all that many ignorances that she enumerates in that passage, ignorance about God, ignorance about men, ignorance about the world, and ignorance about this, and ignorance about that, she says that is not the consciousness which is the consciousness of truth. Therefore, the point is that we must have a knowledge of God. If we have a knowledge of God and are not ignorant, then what do we do as the next one? We say spirit always separates and says, therefore be present with the Lord. Be present with your knowledge of God and absent from the body. We had all that sense of being present with spirit and not with matter. Or we could say, be present with the first subtone, with your knowledge what God is, and don't be present with the ignorance about God. So make up your mind. Always the second is, make up your mind. Huh? Make a decision. Where are you? Consciousness, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? Consciousness, where are you? Are you on this side or on the other side? All right. If we feel that we are with the Lord and are governed by spirit and not by matter, then when we are conscious, therefore, that our life is spiritual and not material, she says at the point of soul, this is the trick, this is the rule, that is going to change you. That changes sorrow into joy, that changes sickness into health, that's the rule in it. And so she presents truth as soul. And shows that if we stick to the one and the two, that triggers off really the third and gives us the control of soul over the body. If that is happening, we feel at the point of principle, therefore, that this brings us that authority, that mastery, wherewith that rule we have dominion over the earth, over all problems. That's principle. Where we speak with authority, and that's the authority over the earth. Which says then, yes, but are you going to decide what that authority should bring forth? Or are you going to let the Lord decide what should be brought forth? So she comes to life and says, but with that sense you have to go to the Father, and only the Father which is in secret, the Father which you don't know what he wants to give you, he will know everything, and the Father which is in secret will reward you openly. He will give you what you need. Life. The fullness of life, the newness of life. But he gives what he wants to give. Therefore, don't make an image what you want. And if we are doing that and go that way of life and let the Father in secret, who can interpret what we need, reward us openly, then we come to the tone of truth as truth, where it says, then let that happen. When you are in that sanctuary, let truth, life and love come in. Truth and life. Let therefore then the Christ idea come in and give you what he wants to give you. Don't obstruct that. Don't obstruct that God works his own way. Because God is truth, life and love. He is that truth which knows in what we know, what we need individually, life. So that it is adapted to our situation. God knows our needs and will give it through the Christ. And as she shows that, then she brings the subject up to love and says, well, this all is answered prayer. This is all is answered prayer. It's a terrific sense of letting really the truth, Christ, operate within you. Okay.